honor, giving honor where honor is due. So why don't we stand and let's welcome up the father of the house, the one and only Pastor Matt.
Seats, that'd be fantastic. And so, Father, we say thank you. We never take these gatherings for granted. We're so aware in this day and age in that we live that just being able to do what we do here today is something that we are so indebted to you for. And we say thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we have, the opportunity that we have. And we just want to open wide our hearts to you this morning, that as we sit around your word, that you would speak with clarity, with power, and with the precision that only you can bring. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Please take your seats. It's so good to have you here with us today. And it's wonderful. And we're finishing off this series. The series is not called Above and Beyond, as Daz was saying to you. But the series is actually Above and Below. And so it's good to know how pastors pay attention to what the series is that we're actually in. But the series is Above, Below. All right, and we're finishing that off today because the whole premise has been is that we've got to understand that the above world, the heavenly world, and the earthly world, the below world, are actually interconnected. And that whatever happens in the one affects the other, and whatever happens down below affects above, and whatever happens above should affect below. And so we've been looking at that, and one of the things I've been using as a foundational example has been around my house. And you would know a little bit more about my house, that it's developed some cracks above the ground. And as they've examined about why is that actually happened, it's because there's been some small shifts that have happened in the foundations. And so we've been understanding actually how what goes on beneath the ground in your life, whatever goes on in the foundation areas of your life, can have an impact and does have an impact. And so when there's cracks in the foundations, when there's some shifts that are going on in the foundations, they will be shown as cracks above. And so when we pay attention to those things, it makes a massive, massive difference. Here's the thing I want you to know as well, is that if you have cracks in your life, that is not failure. The failure or the sin is if you know that they're there and you do nothing about trying to rectify them, that's where the problem comes. And so just because you might sit here today and say, oh, I'm aware there's certain cracks above the ground in my life, it doesn't mean that you failed. Just make sure you do something about what is actually causing that beneath the ground. And Jesus has actually made a way for us to do that, and that's been our series. And so we've looked at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through to 4 has been a key text for us. And so I'm going to read it to you again. It says, since then, you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things, once you say this with me, above. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So that's below. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so this connection between above and below goes even further than what I've just been saying. There's this, the scripture tells us is that when we set our hearts and minds on heavenly things, that's what will help determine what you need to pay attention to in your foundations. So that in turn, what is seen above the ground by people around you is actually reflecting what is in heaven above. Hence our title, Above Below. God wants you to live above, below. He wants you to live the heavenly life here below. He wants you to actually demonstrate heaven here on earth. And so we've been looking at that over this time. And this morning, as I conclude this series, I've simply titled my message, this intriguing title. In fact, when I emailed Caitlin, who was up on stage here and works in our admin section, what it was going to be titled, she said, man, that's such a cool title. You want to know what it is? It's Overcoming Kryptonite. Overcoming Kryptonite. I mean, that's a cool title just right there. And we're gonna look at that. But I want to read you a text, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And this is what it has to say out of the New King James Version. It says, love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, listen to this, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world? As he is above, so we are to be below. Not shall be, are in him. I need you to get that, because sometimes we're living our lives thinking, oh, that's future me. No, no, what Jesus has done for us on the cross, he says, as he is, so are we. And so there's things there that when we look at the life of Jesus, we need to understand that as believers in Christ, when we're born again, we have received his divine nature. We have received it and we've inherited it. That's literally what it means to be born again. Is that you receive this divine nature. So as he is, so are we. In its simplest form, this is what it means. That which you read about and see about the life of Jesus, that which you see him doing in his ministry, we can expect to be manifest in our lives here on earth. As he is, so are we. And so that means things like his incredible unselfish nature. Or maybe it's something like his unconditional love and ability to love all people. Or maybe it's his unspeakable joy that he exhibited even in the face of opposition. Or maybe it's that peace that surpasses all understanding. Or maybe it's that faith that he demonstrated that could literally move mountains. Or maybe it's that supernatural power that we saw evidenced in him and through him over and over and over again. Or maybe it's that unshakable hope, that vitality, that well-being at every level of our lives that we saw him live. Or maybe it's that divine wisdom and insight that he had, that he exercised on a daily basis. Or maybe it's that real sense of call and purpose and destiny that he exhibited as he walked the earth. And I could go on and on with that. As he is, so are we. As he is in heaven, all these things we've been talking about, so we could actually say, well, that should be evidence of our life. And yet, when you hear a list like that and you look at that, you might compare it to your own life and you kind of go, well, I'm not really seeing the evidence of all of those things. I'm not necessarily seeing all those measures that I see in the life of Jesus. So why is that? Why am I not seeing above, below? Why am I not seeing that in my life? We've inherited his divine nature. And yet often it seems that we seem to struggle to live in the fullness of that which Jesus demonstrated for us. And today I want to focus in and zone in as we conclude this series on one particular area that I believe is significant and that really does have an impact. And I want to speak about this whole area of sin. It's not one that people jump up and down and get excited about coming to church for. It's not the one where if I had advertised that in advance, I'm going to talk about sin, that people would be registering for the service like, yes, I so want to go to that service. You know, we live in this era of positive reinforcement. Everyone likes, you just got to talk everyone. You got to tell them how great they are. You got to tell them how amazing they are. You got to talk them up. You got to encourage them. And I believe in all those things, but the Bible also has a lot to say about sin, about its power, about its impact, and how through Jesus Christ, we can deal with it God's way. And when we deal with it God's way, that's when you enable yourself to live above, below. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. And so, as I said, I've entitled my message, Overcoming Kryptonite. And many of you would be familiar with the ultimate comic book hero, Superman. And in fact, we actually have Superman here with us today. So let's welcome Superman to the stage. You know, he was saving the world. He was actually doing the good things that he does. And here he is today. He's actually taken time off that to actually come and help you. All right, because we need help as well. And he's here today. So thank you, Superman, for coming. And many of you know that Superman was actually found and created in the 1930s in the United States. And it was a time when they really needed a hero because the Nazi Empire was expanding at the time. And so so Superman was birthed and created. And if you know anything about Superman, you'll know this about Superman, is that he has X-ray vision. Look at that, he has X-ray vision. Isn't that amazing? He can see through things. He has incredible strength. Strength and power. I mean, there's nothing, he can pick up jumbo jets, he can do all kinds of things. He is bulletproof. No matter what comes his way, it just bounces off him. He can fly. Superman. Isn't he amazing? He's just an incredible superhero, and I love Superman. In fact, I think he is the ultimate superhero. None of these modern day superheroes, Superman is the one. And yet Superman unfortunately does have a weakness. And that weakness is called something that's from his home planet. It's called kryptonite. And kryptonite is this radioactive material that when it comes near Superman, he loses all of those supernatural abilities and powers. All of those things that he actually had, he loses. And he becomes weak. And he becomes powerless because kryptonite is his undoing. Let's put our hands together for Superman. You didn't know that we had such important people coming to our church. Superman was here this morning. And I love this because as believers, I love there's an illustration here. The reason why we're doing this is that we're not welcoming Superman as the latest member of our church. But I'm trying to illustrate a point here. And the point is that in Christ as believers, we have received the divine nature of Jesus within. And just like Superman, we have been made positionally invincible because of that. You know that the Bible says things like this over and over again. There's nothing that we cannot overcome in Christ. Hello, I need you to hear that. Some of you need to hear that today. There's nothing that you cannot overcome in Christ. And listen to what it says. It says things like this. The Bible says you're an overcomer. The Bible says that in Christ you're more than a conqueror. It says that you are victorious in Christ. It says that you are a new creation. I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that I'm a new creation in Christ. That it's not just the old me patched up, but when I gave my heart to Jesus, I am a new creation. I've become someone different, outwardly the same. I might talk the same, I might look the same, I've got the same ridiculous accent that you guys listen to me sometimes. I think I sound Australian, but you guys say, no. But I've got the passport that says I'm an Aussie. But, you know, we are changed. It says we're the head and not the tail. It says that we have a hope and a future that is good, that is eternal, that is God. It says in the Bible that we're redeemed, that we're forgiven, and that we've been made right through what Jesus Christ has done for us in God's eyes. And that because of what Jesus has done, we have been born again. And now we have this new nature, and we have the citizenship that is in heaven. That's the truth of what we have in Christ. We are positionally, that is who we are. As he is, so are we. As he is above, so are we below. But yet we too have our kryptonite. We too have our kryptonite. We have too have that in our lives that is from our home planet, because this kryptonite is from the planet Krypton where Superman was born. And so this, because when he comes into contact with him, it renders him powerless and weak. And if we too don't recognize that actually there can be things in our lives, and particularly sin and temptation and those kind of things, they say are not necessarily a popular message to talk about in this day and age, but they can be the kryptonite that stop you living in the fullness of what I've just been talking about. That stop you living in that thing of being an overcomer and being in Christ, because that is positionally who you are, but it's not necessarily what you're living in. Here's the thing. When Jesus went to the cross for you and I, he did a number of things because of what he did on that cross. And the first thing is that he paid the penalty for our sin. So that means your sin, past, present, future, he paid the price for that sin. And so, which is amazing, and we are declared as a result righteous in God's sight. That means we're able to come into God's presence because we've been made holy through Jesus. But secondly, it says that the power of sin has been removed. And when Jesus went to the cross, he broke the power of sin over our lives. So no longer do we have to be slaves to sin, but now we have a different desire that's at work within us. Now there's a desire to live for God and to please him with everything that we do, not because we're trying to earn his love, because we've already got that, but because we want to live a life in honor of him and praising who he is. And so those two things are powerful. But here's the thing, is that the potential to sin still remains. And when the Bible says it this way, we call to live out our salvation with fear and trembling. Where there's this understanding that yes, positionally, we have all these access to all these amazing things. As he is, so are we. But we need to recognize that there's kryptonite. That is the potential for us to not live in that, and that will weaken us if we don't actually do something about that. As believers in Christ, we're all on a journey to becoming transformed into his image. And how we face every temptation that comes our way on the earth is part of that journey. You know, it's one of the primary strategies that the devil will try to use, because he's got nothing else, because his power was broken through the cross and he was defeated on the cross. And so he's literally got nothing else. And all he can do is try and throw temptation our way and to see if we fall for that and actually enter into sin, because he knows that sin grieves the heart of God. And yet it doesn't need to be our kryptonite. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, is that they took the temptation and separation from God actually took place. Sin is simply anything. It's against the nature of God, and we're called to live a holy life for him. And a holy life is simply this. It means to live set apart for God. You don't have to go live in a monastery to do that. You can live set apart right where you are in the world that you live in. Set apart, that means actually you're saying your affections and your alignment are with God. It means to live a God-honoring and thankful life. It means to be consistent, to live a life that's consistent with that divine nature that you've been given. As he is, so are we. And so there's a sense there, and it's saying, I don't want to be someone that's led by the old sinful desires, but I want to be someone that lives led to please you, Lord, with my life. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, it says the following. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You know, when we talk about sin and temptation, sometimes we kind of think about the big ticket items. Well, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done any of that kind of stuff. I haven't stolen. And we kind of think, okay, that's okay. But it need not just be the big things. But sometimes there have been many times that I've been tempted by things that seem so insignificant. Things like self-interest. Things like selfishness. Things like pride or anger, frustration, envy. Those little foxes that if you don't deal with them, can seem insignificant, but actually are kryptonite. That if you don't deal with them God's way, will actually weaken you and stop you from being able to live above, below. And so that statement is, as it is and as he is, so we are, you struggle with that. Because your kryptonite is kind of in the way, and we're not dealing with it the way that God would have us do. And what I've learned is that the sooner that I see it, the sooner I identify it, and the sooner that I learn to master it with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with the help of God's people, that's why church is so important. That's why Christianity was never meant just to be an isolated thing. That's why Jesus birthed the church and said, you need to be part of one, because it's in community that we grow together, mature together, that we help one another, and that we encourage one another to live this life of holiness that God has called us to live. It's part of his strategy to do it. And it's better for me and it's better for those around me when I've learned to respond God's way to that. You know, everyone faces temptation. No one is immune. There's not a single person in this room or watching online that can say, I never faced temptation. I want to say to you, you are lying to yourself. Because every one of us, even Jesus, faced temptation. Perhaps you've given your heart to Jesus recently and it's troubled you to find out that you became a Christian, you surrendered your life to Jesus, but for some reason, it seems like temptation hasn't gone down, it's gone up. Or maybe you've stepped up to a new level of responsibility or leadership or opportunity, whether that's in the church or in the workplace, and you just found that it seems like temptation hasn't gone down, it's gone up. And you may be thinking, man, if I've been tempted like this, can I really be a Christian? Is something wrong? What's happened? I want to go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And there's an account there about two brothers called Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, they brought some offerings to God. And it says that Abel brought the first fruits of the best portions of his flock. And he brought them to the Lord. And then Cain, it says this, he said he brought some of his crop and he brought it to God. And it says that God looked at the two offerings, and he looked with favor upon Abel's, but not upon Cain's. And it says this in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. You can go read the whole account for yourself and encourage you to do that. But it says this in verse 7 of Genesis 4. It says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You must rule over it. And you see, here is when you read the story, you see, unfortunately, Cain allowed sin to master him. He took the bait of his anger and jealousy of his brother, and he tempted doesn't mean you're not a Christian. In fact, it might actually mean the opposite. Maybe it means that you're being that effective for the kingdom, you're so in love with Jesus, you're so doing the right thing on behalf of the kingdom, that the devil's actually sitting up and taking notice and saying, hey, I don't like that. And like I said earlier, he doesn't have any power because Jesus already broke his power when he rose again from the dead. And so the only thing he can do is try and up the game and up the ante and try and distract you with temptation. Because he knows it's kryptonite. And he knows that if you take the bait of that kryptonite, it makes you powerless. And you're not living in the fullness of as he is, so are we. Heaven above, on the earth below. And so don't think that trying to ignore stuff beneath the surface doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. And so the Bible is full of injunctions that tell us that as well. You know, in James chapter 1, in verse 13, we're actually going to be in a couple of weeks and we're starting a series in James. I know you're going to love it because it's such a practical book of faith. And so it says this in verse 13. It said, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. I want you to hear that. God doesn't tempt us. The devil is the tempter. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. So here's the formula. Temptation leads to desire. Desire leads to sin. And sin leads to death. So temptation leads to desire. Desire leads to sin. And sin leads to death. Therefore, that's the formula. Where do we need to deal with the things? Well, you need to deal with it at the temptation phase. That's where we need to deal with it. That's when we begin to overcome kryptonite, when we deal with it that way. And when you read chapter 1 of James, you'll begin to see the context within which that particular text is written. It's all about overcoming trials and temptations that come our way in life. That it's about overcoming them in Christ. And it's, you see, sometimes God, he's not the originator of temptation, but he can use temptation to draw us to him. You need to hear that. Because how you deal with temptation can either grow you or become your kryptonite. And we want to make sure that we are ensuring that the way we deal with temptation is we disempower the kryptonite and we actually deal with it God's way. Sin is anything that brings dishonor to God's name or is against his will or nature or which grieves the Holy Spirit or goes against the direct counsel of his word. And we often think about the big obvious sins, but it can often play out in more subtle ways too. What about things like this? You can say the right words outwardly, but you know you're saying it with the wrong heart. Is that just as bad, Matt, as anything else? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Sometimes we hide behind this phrase, I'm just being real. I'm just being real. Well, to me, the Bible says if you're going to get real, you need to get real with God first and yourself. And so how about we get real about what's actually going on behind those words and some of the motives and some of the things and the hurts and the pain that's possibly behind those things, because that's where you actually need to start getting real about. That's the kryptonite that if you don't deal with it, is going to disempower you. And you're not going to be able to live in as he is, so are we. And we need to make sure that we confront those things and deal with them and so that they don't hinder. Isaiah 26 verse 8 says, your name and renown and the desire of our hearts. Being real about truth and about his name and renown in our lives first. Cain didn't get that. And he was pointing out perceived injustice and he was saying, my brother's being treated better than me. And he tried to point it out. And the reality is that he didn't get it because God was saying, hey, Cain, the problem is not with your brother. The problem's in you. I sit a lot with people week in and week out and people journeying through all kinds of stuff and often tragic stuff, difficult stuff, circumstances. And it's part of what I'm called to do is to come alongside, help people, pray with them, counsel them in God's word. But you'll find that often one of the most common things that I would say to people is to say, you know what, they'll sometimes sit there and I'll say, right, tell me about the problem. And they're saying, well, this person did that, or they didn't do this, or they said that, or they didn't do this, didn't say that. And there's all this thing. And I, you know what, that's good and it's valid. And maybe there's a lot of truth in that. But I've also been around to know that that's not the whole truth. There's always another side. And this is what I always say to them. I always say to them this. I say, guys, there's only one person sitting here in my office right now, and that's you. And the only thing that we can change right now and deal with right now is you. So how about we start there and let's see if there's anything in the foundations below that's causing you to be made weak because it's kryptonite. See, people don't always like that because they're coming for you to just fix them. It's not my job to fix anyone. It's my job to point them to Jesus. It's Holy Spirit. To bring conviction. And if I can be a vessel, if I can just be someone that's helpful in that process, then praise God for that. But we cannot underestimate the power of what's going on within us. Cain didn't get that. The problem was within. We've got to stop blaming everyone else. Now, I'm not saying, having said a blanket statement like that, there may be some justifiable situations where you have been done grievous harm or stuff. And I want to say, I'm sorry if that has been your case. But there's also a lot of other people who are blaming people, circumstances. And yet there's things within that are our undoing that we need to just do business with God on because they're kryptonite. Temptations are of various kinds. You know, someone can say something unkind and you're tempted to give back to them in equal measure. Or maybe you use your success and your success tempts you to be proud. Or maybe someone else's success tempts you to be envious and jealous. Or maybe sickness, failure, disappointment, opposition, things going wrong in your life tempt you to discouragement. Maybe you think God's failed you. He doesn't know your address. Sometimes we use our stress to justify our actions. I want to say in this COVID era and everyone's tired and we use that language and I think sometimes we're making excuses for stuff. We're justifying our sin. We're justifying how we're responding and how we're talking to people and we're hiding behind our stress. How about we get before God and say, God, this stuff is kryptonite. This is stopping me from living above, below, and Lord, help me with where I'm weak. Help me with this foundational stuff, because this is not the quality of life that I deserve to be living. This is not as you are, so am I. And this is not what others around me deserve to be receiving. And I can say that because I live that tension too. And some days I get it wonderfully right, and other days I get it horribly wrong. I've got to go to God and say, God, I don't want to be like Cain pointing out everyone else. God, deal with me first. What's my kryptonite here in this occasion? Sometimes we use our fears. I've seen it in this day and age. Everyone's anxious. Now, I know there's a very real, clinically diagnosed anxiety condition out there. But people are using the label of anxiety like it's just the new depression label. And you need to hear my heart, because we're going to be going on at a radio station this week, myself and Beth, talking about mental health in the church. And so I'm a believer in a holistic approach to mental health. But I also see people making excuses for not living in faith, but putting labels over them because they're not prepared to get before God and do the business. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, come before Him, give Him praise, present these things to Him. Don't allow labels that you've either put on yourself or others are trying to put on you, because a lot of us actually aren't qualified to give those labels. I have a daughter who's qualified. Most of us aren't, including myself. But let's make sure that we're not just excusing away, because it becomes our kryptonite. It stops us living as He is, so are we. It can all sound pretty hopeless. You might say, well, is it possible to live overcoming kryptonite? I want to say to you, absolutely, because of Jesus. Jesus was tempted, yet was without sin. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus gets you, and He gets what you're facing, and He gets the temptations that are before you. But listen to this, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, not some ways, not in some unique way that He doesn't get what you're about and what you're facing. He says He's been tempted in every way, just as we are. As He is, so are we. Yet He was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, in the heat of the moment, temptation always seems irresistible. It always seems attractive. It always flatters to deceive. But here's the thing, it never delivers what it promises. And it leaves a lot of hurt, pain, and grieving. Psalm 51 verse 4, David, when he was confronted with his own sin of adultery and killing of a man, prays this prayer and he says, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. See, our sin grieves the heart of God. It also hurts us, and it also hurts those around us as well. So don't think that just ignoring what's below doesn't make any difference. It does. He wants us to live above, below. He wants us to be as He is, so are we. In Romans 6, and I'll close with this text. In verse 11, it says the following. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You have a choice, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, of those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Now listen to this and think about where you heard this before. For sin shall not be your master. Genesis chapter 4. Cain Sin desires to have you, Cain, but you must master it. Here we find in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And so here's the cool thing. The Old Testament says, God says to Cain, you must master sin, and he fails. See, the Old Testament, the law will do that to you. It'll point out your faults, but do nothing to help you. That's why we don't talk about Christianity as a religion. We talk about it as a relationship with Jesus. Because just following do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, that's not what I'm talking about, because that can point out what you're doing wrong, but it does nothing to help you. But what Jesus did in the New Testament is that he says, actually, I'm going to come as the fulfillment of the law. And now I'm going to take that law that was written down, I'm going to write it on your hearts. And he says, what I'm also going to do, I'm actually going to give you my Holy Spirit, my very presence within you. As he is, so are you. And now you're going to have the very presence of a holy God living within you that's going to enable you to do what was impossible to do before. And now that's why it says in Romans chapter 6, it says, "You for sin shall not be your master." Man, this, I hope this is encouraging for you. If you've been struggling with something, if you've been struggling with some kind of thing, I want to say to you, this is not a church of condemnation. We're a loving community that wants to support and encourage you to live the life that Jesus Christ has for you. I'm passionate, but I'm not angry with you. I just want to see you victorious. I want to see you living above, below. I want to see you that as he is, so are you. I want to see kryptonite disempowered. Just now, just a useless piece of rock. Has no power, it comes near me, it has no effect. I'm not rendered helpless, I'm still able to live. And all of that divine nature that Jesus Christ has given me, that purchased for me on that cross. I didn't deserve it, he gave it to me as a free gift of love. And I'm so thankful for that. And man, I can't help but want to live a life in glory of him. I'm so thankful for what Jesus done. Won't you stand with me, please? Now, one of the things that speaks about overcoming kryptonite, and there's many things, but just the one thing I want to highlight here as I close this, it's just the power of repentance. The power of actually saying, God, I own my sin, and I come to you, and I'm sorry for what I've done. You know, when you become a Christian, that's part and parcel of the salvation experience, is that you have to. There's no salvation without repentance. You need to be able to come before him and say, God, I'm sorry. I've tried to live life on my own terms, and I haven't been acknowledging you, and I'm sorry. Because I know it grieves your heart, but I want that to change. Repentance is not just acknowledging it, but then it's choosing another way. And God says, hey, my child, my grace is here for you. My love is here for you. My forgiveness is here for you. And whatever you've done that you think makes you unworthy, he says, the blood of Jesus qualifies you, cleanses you, forgives you, makes you worthy. You're not without hope. You have hope. And so that's what we do when we give our hearts to Jesus. But then it doesn't stop there. We then have to keep on living a life and having a heart that's responsive, that whenever we come under temptation, if we make a mistake, and let's be honest, all of us do. I don't get it right every day. Sometimes my attitude sucks. But I'm so thankful that I have a gracious God, that when I surrender and I come to him, I repent and say, God, I'm so sorry for what I've done or what I've said, what I haven't done, whatever it is. And what I'm doing in that moment as I repent is that I'm disempowering the kryptonite, and I'm enabling myself to live in the fullness of the divine nature that Jesus Christ purchased for us. Do you know the word repent used over 50 times in the New Testament in various forms. It's not a word you hear much preached about in church these days, but it's a vital part of what the gospel's about and helping us overcome the kryptonite that's in our lives. If you're here today or if you're watching online and in your heart you're saying, man, we had a powerful service at the 9 a.m. and people just responded beautifully. What I'm going to ask us to do right across this place is all close our eyes, because we don't want to know your business. This is between you and God. I'm talking about as he is, so are you. And you know whether you're living in the fullness of that or not, or what you're struggling with, or maybe you've been facing a lot of temptation, or maybe that's been translated into sin, and you kind of realize that actually, as I'm talking here today, the Holy Spirit is just nudging at you and saying, hey. You know how you can know it's the Holy Spirit, not the devil, is that the devil will just condemn you. He'll just say everything's wrong about you. God will never accept you, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He shines his light on that area and he says, hey, can we do business with that thing? He's not an angry God. He's a loving God that's there to see you set free. And I want to see you set free, and I want to see you living in the fullness of what Jesus has for your life. And so if you're here today and you're saying, Matt, I'm one of those people, I feel like I've got some stuff going on and whatever, I'm just going to ask you where you are. No one's looking around. This is between you and God. But just lift your hands to heaven and just say, God, or do something. Kneel, just do something that just say, God, I acknowledge that I just need help. I acknowledge that there's stuff going on, there's kryptonite at play, and I realize that today I've just got to deal with it. I want to deal with it, and I know that God will meet you right where you're at. And he wants to see you free. He wants to see you empowered. He wants you to know the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy of God. This picture I had as I was praying was people with tears as they're just doing business with God, and God's just dealing with them in a deep and personal way. And that as you walk out from this building, you're going to walk out with a sense of freedom. Not the same way you walked in. Not because of my words, but because God, you're doing business with God right now. And so, Father, I just pray for every single person that's lifting up their hands to you right now. Father, I thank you for their surrender. I thank you for their openness. I thank you for their vulnerability. I thank you, Lord God, that they're saying, God, I realize that there's something faulty in the foundations. And I'm just coming to you today to say, Lord, that kryptonite, I thank you that I can overcome it in Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that today there would just come fresh power, a fresh enabling. I pray for forgiveness where that's needed, Lord God, and grace to be in abundance. I pray that you would just empower people here today, and they would just truly walk in all. That as it is in heaven, so are we on earth. That as it is above, so are we below. Lord, we wouldn't leave anything undealt with, but we would just surrender fully to you today. I thank you for that, and I thank you for the power of your presence that's available to those in this building and those that are watching online right now. Bless them, Lord God, in your precious name.